These were women with a particular consciousness who wanted to show more images of what women's lives were about than had been, in my growing up time, presented. In my growing up time, women's music, if there was any particular definition, it was very much, it was love songs, and love songs very much in relation to men. You know, and often, you know, that tradition would be, I'm going to be sitting home by the phone waiting for you to call. Whatever you do is just fine with me. If you want to beat me around a little bit, that's okay too. You know, this came from the blues tradition. This came from the country tradition. It was very prevalent. Or else it was songs about, you know, children's songs, lullabies. Now, all of that, you know, that is, especially children's songs and lullabies, that is part of our heritage, part of our tradition. But what I came to call women's music very much was so much broader than love songs and lullabies. It took in all aspects of women's lives. It talked about the kind of work that they did, the kind of lives they lived, their relationships, the good and the bad. It also, I think if you look hard at the music we grew up with, the stereotypes of women in so much traditional music tended to be an image of a woman who was either up on a pedestal and could do no wrong. I mean, look at bluegrass music, you know, my mother's smile, and my, you know, there's so many images of that. Or else women, fallen women, you know, the women who just didn't cut it to the moral standards of the community. And that was another, you know, that we were angels or we were whores. And there wasn't too much realistic pictures of women in between. So when I started discovering this incredible body of music, not only traditional music, but also contemporary music that was being written, it was very exciting to me to see other images of women other than those two kind of stereotypes, which we were dealing with in the media, we were dealing with in every aspect of our lives. So to start keying in to songs that showed women in reverse roles, songs that showed women as very gutsy, songs that got about women who got very tired of the kind of traditional roles they were in, songs of the kind of struggling that women did to change the situations they were in, or songs that just laments, that just honestly told of their life conditions. Those songs touched me deeply. So what I'm presenting here, and what I started last week, and will, or last Tuesday, and we'll review briefly, and we'll continue, are giving you some of the definition of what I consider women's music. And again, that's all of the answers. Whatever you all bring here is in terms of what you consider women's music is perfectly valid. But what I'm going to share is my own particular perspective and definition of what I've come to consider women's music. Briefly. And I don't think I don't want to ask the questions again or we'll completely run out of time again. But just briefly, if you could just introduce yourselves. And once again, since we have a number of new people, how many of you were here before? This helps me know still of people who've come. Okay, and how many, is this your first time? Okay, well, we're pretty well divided. Okay, so can we just briefly go give your name, where you're from?
Mildred Percy from Wilmer, Minnesota.
Colleen Neeson from Wilmer, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Liz Lusk from Bremerton, Washington.
Sandy Usher from Bremerton, Washington.
Dave Berger from Seattle, Washington.
Donna Nibby, Wilmer, Minnesota.
Mary Northcott, Wilmer, Minnesota.
Rosie Olson, Bellevue, Washington.
Dean Jameson, Seattle, Washington.
Okay, just a minute. I'll go back here.
Machi Kwabe from Japan.
Okay. From Southern California.
Okay. Leah Chamberson from Seattle.
Nyla Alden from Rockford, Illinois.
Celeste Hall from Spokane.
Ethan Bergman from Ellensburg, Washington.
Okay, still so stop there. Okay.
Christine Borges from Cloverdale, Oregon.
Carlene Green from the National Council.
Okay.
Carla Bergman, Ellensburg, Washington.
Okay.
Janelle Petrucci, Cape Town, South Africa.
Long way from home. Okay.
Deb
Johansson,
Sartell,
Minnesota.
Okay. Jean
Johansson,
Minneapolis.
Okay.
Norma Kratz, International Falls, Minnesota.
Okay.
Carol Adams, Minneapolis.
Sure.
Minneapolis.
Phil Otten, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Okay.
Eddie
Howe, Issaquah, Washington.
Okay.
Juanita Merrifield, Issaquah.
Okay.
Jean here, Chandness, Minnesota.
Okay. Thanks. Well, I'm glad you're all here. Well, I'm going to start out in a way that I do workshops on our mother's songs fairly often in the schools, in which I present a little view or a little overview of history through song. I'm going to show you how I start that out. I'm going to start out with a song that I think you all know. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Want to sing with me? She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be driving 6 white horses when she comes. She'll be driving 6 white horses when she comes. She'll be driving 6 white horses. She'll be driving 6 white horses. She'll be driving 6 white horses. Is she?
A lovely lady.
A lovely lady, okay. What are some of your ideas? It's great asking this question of kids,
a
too.
A mail order bride.
A mail order bride, there's an idea.
A stepmother of 20.
Okay. What are your other ideas? Have you ever thought about this? Who is she?
She's the train.
As what?
Grandma.
I always thought
of her.
Yeah.
Grandma.
But it does say we'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
It's someone who likes chicken and dumplings.
Right?
We hope.
Someone else said train. I've heard that a lot, too.
Grandma's sister, aunt.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Any other ideas? Kids often say cowgirl, because driving 6 5 horses. So. I think it's a cowgirl. I actually heard an answer to that question, which may be actually historic, about the last time I did this, because I've never known, you know, I don't know anybody. I know very few people who actually know who she is. Let's see.
There's okay.
But the dilemma is, or what I point out to the children, is so often when we think about women's history, we don't know who she was. She was obviously a very well-known person, well-respected in the community. Sounds fairly independent to me. But we don't know her name. And so much of what happened, certainly in the history that I grew up with, and I would wager most of you grew up with, women's stories were not included because women's lives were not considered very important. So that in this past year, I was running around Washington State collecting stories, gathering stories about different people in Washington, and ran across many women whose stories I had never heard of, whose lives had never been reported in the history books that I grew up with. And so often we study history, and it's a very lineal kind of study that we do. We go from war to war. And women's history may tend to be more circular because what's important to us tends to be our families, the relationships with the people that in our community, the people that we work with, and we wouldn't count our history particularly from war to war. And so where do we find women's history? Where do we find those stories? And we talked about some of this, and I'm going to sort of rush through this a little bit. We find them in places like in diaries and in letters, in old photograph albums, through the songs that were passed down that gave us images and thoughts about women. And especially the kind of music that I've been uncovering, because I've been looking for songs that portray little different images. And we have a very rich heritage of songs that portray a very wide variety of images of women's lives. What have I missed here? Quilts people brought up, you know, basket weaving. The kind of patterns that are passed down through families and the stories that go along with them. Recipes. You know, I have a song about a recipe and the passing down of recipes. Other ideas? Let's see. Photograph, yeah, we covered that. Those are some of the ways that we hear, that we uncover women's stories. So I hear a song like this, and it's good in terms of presenting it to the kids and saying, now here are some women. Then we talk about some different women in history and some of the stories that we've learned and how we've learned about women's history. But I want to pass on one other story. I just heard about that, which was that song was actually written for Mother Jones, who was a famous labor leader. And I don't know how accurate that is, but I pass it on that, it could have been written about Mother Jones. But I never grew up knowing that. There were some, I'm going to skip right into this part here. Up on the board here, and we got partway through that list last time, but I'll start over again and maybe throw in some different songs. These are some of the categories of the types of women's songs that have come from our tradition. Songs of fantasy. Now, because the lives of women have been so difficult and so hard, and they had a historic role in the community. They often were the storytellers. They often were the ones who passed on the tradition, as well as the moral imperatives of the culture. They were the ones who many people would talk about, the hymns that they remember their mothers and their grandmothers singing, and grew up with that as very much a part of their lives. And this was a way in which our culture is being passed on, and the values and our religious traditions are being passed on through the hymns, through the different kinds of songs. Often in our country, particularly, there was a rather rigid moral system and a rather rigid religious viewpoint. So of course, in many homes, anything but hymns were banned. I don't know if that was any of the hymns that you made or any of the homes you grew up with, but that was certainly very common. You'd have to go out to the barn if you wanted to, play your dulcimer or play your guitar and do any other kind of songs, but hymns were all that was really acceptable because the women were trying very hard to pass on a particular value. This is the value that I want you to learn. And anything else is diluting that. Often if there were stories in the home, or so many of the ballads are story songs, they would have a little twist at the end. They would have, if someone went off the straight and narrow path, there would be a comeuppance, there would be some kind of punishment. There would be, something would happen to that character. In the songs of fantasy, a lot of them were written, or in traditional music, would have the theme of escape, again, because their lives were so very, very difficult. Now, I was trying to think of which ones. I gave some from before, but I'm going to sing you a little bit of a contemporary song, actually, that better illustrates this theme. And just 20 years ago, when I first started discovering this category of what's come to be called women's music, I ran across this song, and it's written by a man. Now, again, some people would define a women's song as only songs written by women. But one of the earliest and most powerful songs that I heard 20 years ago was written by a man named John Prine. It's called Angels from Montgomery. I am an old woman named after my mother. Would have burned down alone. time I heard that song, it just went, oh! You know, it just struck me so deeply. And I think that this is what is true of what I consider women's songs, is they strike that deep and universal chord. Now, this is a contemporary one, but then you think of a song that's hundreds of years old and has been very popular, like the Gypsy Davy, which we sang last night. It was late last night when the boss came home asking for his lady. The only answer that he got, she's gone with the Gypsy Davy, gone with the Gypsy Davy. And it goes on to tell the story. You might remember this one. It was popular back in the 60s or so. But again, it's an ancient folk song, and it just goes through this woman who leaves her house and her lands and goes riding off with a gypsy. And again, a great fantasy song for women whose lives were so hard. And it was very true that the songs often in traditional music of the southern mountains particularly, which is where so much of our tradition has lasted, was about kings and queens and about life that they didn't know firsthand, but they brought remnants of songs, again, from the country that they came from Scotland and Ireland. And it was a great escape. You know, I mean, now we read romantic novels, but at that time, they put them into ballads and these stories. But of course, and so often in the traditional music, again, there was the punishment. In the Gypsy Davy, she loses her baby. You know, this was her punishment for having gone off with a gypsy, was she couldn't take her baby with her, and that was the trade-off. She seemed still pretty happy with her choice at the end of the song, which was a little unusual. Most often, just some horrible thing happens to them. You know, they die, they get killed, something. Anyway, so that song's a fantasy. Or an escape. Adventurous Women. Now, that was one of the biggest surprises when I started looking at this literature, was to find these really strong, gutsy women, women that changed roles. They went off to war, they went off on sailing ships, they became soldiers, they became cowgirls. Usually they couldn't do it as women. They would have to dress up as men to get away with it. There's one story that comes from the British tradition of a woman who goes off and gets away with it. She cuts her hair short and she dresses as a sailor and gets away with it for a long time, but she gets involved with a captain and got pregnant, and it got pretty hard, and the captain's wife found out about it anyway. Maybe that was the punishment. I'm not sure, but she didn't, you know, I don't know if they threw her off the ship or quite what it was at that point, but anyway, there are a lot of strong songs in our tradition about that. They're a lot of fun. I'm trying to think of a good example of adventurous women. Let's see. Oh, okay, here's one. This one, again, comes from, I think it was written back in the 30s. This is just the chorus. And it's about Amelia Earhart. There's a beautiful, beautiful field far away in a land. Farewell, first lady of the air. Do any of you remember that? I think it was recorded by Gene Autry back in the 30s or so. You know? Pardon?
The music sounds familiar.
Yeah. And it's just sort of a lament for this
sounds
courageous
like
woman.
Sounds like his music.
Yeah. Oh, he sings it beautifully. I've heard the original recording. It's really, really nice. How about... I think this is kind of, as I recall, fairly a gutsy woman. Oh, do you remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the bright prairie with her lover Ike, with two yoke of oxen and an old spotted hog, a laughing hyena and an old yaller dog. Diddly-i-di-di-doodle, diddly-i-di-di-day. Well, it seems like, as I recall that song, she was, she was pretty strong character, and certainly adventurous. Okay, so adventurous women, murder ballads. One of the most famous we've asked. What's interesting is that I think it said, we read a quote from Alan Lomax last time, And I think it said fully half of the songs that were so well beloved by backwoods, by the women of the Southern Mountains, were murder ballads. And the commonest reason for that murder, if you start looking beyond what, you know, we've sort of had very refined versions of a lot of folk songs in the 60s, but that the reason seemed to be it was like an early form of abortion. She was murdered because she was pregnant. And that was a real common theme. And again, a way to sing these songs was a way to keep the daughters in line. You know, this is what could happen to you. So it was a very common theme. You know, obviously a real fear. But like this one that we got a refined version of in the 60s. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head. If you go back to the original of Tom Dula, of that song, as I understand it, and I haven't gone back to the original source for a while, but that when you read between the lines and you look at it, that it was, again, she most likely was pregnant, and that's why he did her in. So, every once in a while, you'll run across a song in traditional music in which the tables get turned, though. You know, he takes her down to the river fully intending to do her in, and she somehow tricks him and somehow gets him thrown in the river instead, you know, in one way or another. And those, some of those are pretty good.
What about Frankie and Johnny? Is Frankie and Johnny one of those?
Oh, Frankie and Johnny, good example. Yeah, because she takes a gun and kills him, doesn't
she?
Yeah. Again, that may fall in the category of songs of fantasy. I'm not sure. But yeah, that's a good example. Okay, so songs of fantasy, and then songs of complaint. Now these, just songs that really dealt with women's everyday lives, you know, and what they were, and I think I've had the best education about what women's lives were like, because as I started out saying, there wasn't a whole lot of information in our history books about what women's lives were really like. But the songs carry forth, you know, often, I mean, this is a very distilled version, because when you get your history from songs or folk tales or folk, you're not going to necessarily get the most accurate history. But what you're going to get is how people felt about their lives, what their lives were really like. And so when I started discovering a lot of these songs of complaint that dealt with women's everyday realities, I began to have a much better and more realistic understanding of the lives of women. Like this one song from the 1800s. It was found in a woman's, Mrs. Sarah Price's diary in about 1860. And that's all I can tell you, and I don't know that she necessarily wrote it. What I have found out, though, back in 76, I interviewed a woman who was 100 years old on that year, and she brought up this song. It was one of her favorite songs. And she remembered it again. It was from an oral tradition, not from any recordings. I think it's only been recently, probably in the past 20 years, started getting recordings made. And ran across, I think, two other sources in Washington of women who remembered this song from the late 1800s, early 1900s. But again, I don't know who wrote it. One day I was walking, I heard a complaining and saw an old woman, the picture of gloom. She gazed at the mud on her doorstep, 'twas raining, and this was her song as she wielded her broom. This may be too high. For life is a toil and love is a trouble, beauty will our little rock in the midst of the sea. My one chance of life was a ceaseless endeavor to sweep off the waves as they swept over me. Alas, 'twas no dream, and ahead I behold it. I see I am helpless my fate to avert. And she laid down her broom, her apron she folded. She lay down and died and was buried in dirt. Oh, life is a toil and love is a trouble. Beauty will fade and riches will flee. Pleasures they dwindle and prices they double, and nothing's as I would wish it to be. Yeah, that doesn't sound that old. So. The fact that we can still laugh at that. You know, somebody wrote down something that was so deeply universal, because the nature of housework certainly has not changed. You know? And as I read the statistics, we're spending as much time on it now as we ever did. And it's still the same kind of repetition, but how many honest songs have we heard about what absorbs a good part of our day and our energy that particularly falls on women's shoulders, unless you live in a particularly egalitarian household, but I don't think there are too many of us who fall in that category. I do. My husband's better at it than I am, I must say. But it's the nature of the work. It's still there. It's still there. Court songs, work songs. Okay, well, that's a good one about work inside the home. Now, I also have gotten quite a look at and a flavor for work outside of the home, in the factories, particularly in the factories. That's where I've heard a lot of songs. This one comes from the southern factories. I'm not sure when it was made, but the cotton factories of the south. We talked last time, we gave an example of one that came from the northern, the northeast. At that time, women started going into the mills in about the late 1700s. And the conditions at that time weren't too bad. They had big boarding houses set up. For a lot of the young women, it was a better alternative than the farms that they were leaving. The farms were less and less able to support the large families that were being produced. They had too many children. They needed to find, you know, some place for some of the daughters particularly to go, who weren't considered quite as valuable. And one thing they could do was to go into the mills and help with the family's income. And so there are a number of songs that come out of the mills. And again, the character changed dramatically from the late 1700s into about the mid-early 1800s, when the competition became much more difficult than the mill owners. And so conditions worsened. They started working longer hours. They started speeding up the machinery, all the kinds of things that were done to get them to produce a little more. And the ages of the people doing that work, you know, primarily young women, was dropping, so that you had very young children in the mines. And we can talk more about that when we get into union songs. But at this time, this was sort of pre-union, and there wasn't a lot of hope. It was like, what solutions do you have? And as we talked about before, and sang this song called "The Factory Girl," the solutions they sought at that time was not to put together a union. It was more individual solutions. I'll marry the boss. You know, that's my fantasy. That's how I'll get out of it. But this one, again, and I don't know as much history about this one, but it comes from the southern mills. And I don't think the southern mills ever had any redeeming qualities, nor do they particularly now, when you look at the kind of things that have been going on in the textile industry now. It's still primarily women's work and women's struggle, because so few women nationally are actually organized in the kind of trades that women primarily do. So few of us are organized. Well, we'll talk about that more later too. Okay, here's one called Cotton Mill. Well, I worked in the cotton mills all of my life, and I ain't got nothing but a barley knife. Hard times, cotton mill girls, it's a hard time everywhere. Hard times, cotton mill girls, it's a hard time. Hard times, cotton mill girls, it's a hard time everywhere. lullabies. I put lullabies and baby rocking songs. We had fun with this category last time. When we think of lullabies, we all have images of our head of these gentle, dreamy songs. You know, they talk about how, you know, these wonderful images and they're important songs. We have a wonderful tradition of beautiful lullabies to rock the babies to sleep. They're a kind of work song, and essentially, because they're rhythmical and they help to lull the child asleep. But what most people, I think, weren't familiar with is there's also a whole genre of songs that are called hostile baby rocking songs, for want of a better name, that have the same beautiful melodies and the same rhythms, but the words are a little different. You know, like the one example, I'll just give a little of it, and I just ran across another one I'll sing for you, too. This is the day we give babies away with a half a pound of tea. Just open the lid and you pull out a kid with a written guarantee. You can sing with me. This is the day we give babies away with a half. Good for the soul, for, you know, for a lot of mothers. If you're at, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning and you've been rocking the baby for 2 hours, we need some songs, you know, that can kind of release our aggressions. And they're there. They're rich in the tradition. There's one Rosalie Sorrells sings. Let's see. Six. I think she sings it back to back with that one. Now this one, she said, she learned this originally from her mother, who found it in a book of children's poetry from the early 1800s, and she later got the words from Olive Burrell. So. There's an island way out in the seas where the babies, they all grow on trees, and it's jolly good. That's true. Try it way down here. There's an island way out in the seas. Oh, let me try this. There we go. Not a reasonable compromise in here somewhere. There's an island way out in the seas where the babies, they all grow on trees. It's jolly good fun to swing in the sun, but you have to look out if you sneeze, you sneeze. You have to look out if you sneeze. And when the stormy winds wail and the breezes blow high in the gale, there's the funniest hopping and flopping and dropping and fat little babies just hail, they hail, fat little babies they hail. And the babies lie there in a pile, and the grown-ups come after a while, and they always pass by the babies that cry, and they take only babies that smile, smile. Triplets and twins, if they smile. Okay, well that could actually fall in the category of work songs, but lullabies. Okay, apron songs. And we talked about this a little bit last time too. The apron image is a real common one in folk songs. And the image is that when you're apron strings, now, I'm a real good example of this. When your apron strings won't pin, it's because you're in the family way, you know, you're pregnant. And if your apron strings hang low, you know, that's well, you'll hear it in a song that I'm sure you'll all recognize. But in the version that we heard on radio in the, 50s or 60s, probably early 60s, we didn't have the whole image here. It was again, highly censored. But this is the origins of it. Love, oh, careless love. You want to sing that with me? Love, oh, careless love. Love, oh, careless love. Oh, look what love has done to me. It's once my apron strings hung. This morning I was looking up another version of Careless Love, and in that version she takes out something like, you pass my door and I pull out my 38, and you know, it's sort of a Frankie and Johnny version I hadn't heard before. So, but that's the whole genre of apron songs. And there are a lot of them because that was a very common condition for young women to be in, and all the scandal that went along with it and all the laments that grew out of that. A very common experience in women's lives, but not one that we didn't grow up knowing that music. And it's good. I think any time you have a piece of music that truly reflects people's authentic experiences that we can relate to, that, oh, I know how that felt. This is important music to have as part of our tradition and so much of what we've missed. So again, that's what I call, in my definition, women's music. Another category that probably goes pretty close to that are good gals gone wrong. We did the House of the Rising Sun last time, and I think, again, in the popular version we came up with in the 60s, it wasn't as clear as it is when you go back to the original sources that was actually a whorehouse, a house of prostitution. And many of the songs, both from men's viewpoint and women's viewpoint, deal with syphilis. I mean, the song "The Streets of Laredo" was again a dying cowboy dying of syphilis, and the flowers that are used and a lot of the symbols make that clear. But this isn't, we grew up with such watered down versions. We didn't get the real story. But that again is part of those images from both, again, women's side, men's sides. One of my favorite Irish traditional songs is a baby rocking song. And it's for the man who's staying home with his baby because the woman goes out to parties and dances every night, and he's left home rocking the baby. That was unique. I haven't run across a lot of those, but it was interesting. Here's just a fragment of one called "Working on the New Railroad," and sort of more from a country tradition. Working on the new railroad with the mud up to my knees. Working on the new railroad with the mud up to my knees. Digging for Big John Henry, and he's so hard to please. You know I've been all around this world. Where did you get that pretty red dress and the shoes you wear so fine? Where did you get that pretty red dress and the shoes you wear so fine? Well, I got my dress from an engineer, shoes from a driver in the mine. Well, I've been all around this world. So there's that image creeping in again, you know. How did she get those things? Well, there weren't a lot of choices. Another image of women in war. And there's some very powerful traditional songs in which women find themselves, you know, either waiting for a loved one who has gone off to war, or in some cases, well, that's Here I Sit on Buttermilk Hill is one. I think this is Irish. And it's sounds more like a lullaby, maybe. Here I sit on Buttermilk Hill. Who can blame me, cry my fill. Every tear could turn a mill. Johnny's conquered a soldier. Shoo, 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 love. Shoo, love. She talks in the song about sending her love away with because at that time, from the time this speaks of, they would have to outfit themselves for war. You'd have to supply your own shield and your own sword. And so she, I sold my spinning wheel to buy my love a sword of steel. All of the laments that grew out of that wartime, and sometimes. Some very bitter songs of women who felt betrayed because they'd sent their loved ones away to war and they didn't come home. You know, and one, Mrs. McGrath, I can't quite recall it, but Mrs. McGrath, it's an Irish song, famous Irish song, in which she talks about, you know, I believed you, you know, all of your words about sending off my sons to your war, and now, you know, they're not coming home, or they're coming home crippled and feel this feeling of betrayal. There's a contemporary song by a writer named Judy Small. Sisters, daughters, wives, mothers, daughters, wives. How we were trained to be good mothers, daughters, wives, and send our sons off to war, and send our husbands off to war with the flags waving and believing all of it. And then the deep feelings of betrayal when you feel that you've been used somehow. And there's some powerful songs on that theme. See if we can get further than we did last time. We're going over a lot of familiar territory. But now I think it's different. Songs of Struggle, that's the next one. The first era, Civil War through about World War I. And what might be called, there was something that might be called a women's movement, and that it was associated with temperance, it was associated with the suffrage movement. And a lot of the songs that I've uncovered were not very singable songs. It was very much an upper class movement at that time, not really a working class roots kind of music. And the songs reflected that, so that you had fairly stilted lyrics, and also there were some problems politically. A lot of the songs reflected, or a lot of the ideals of the women's suffrage movement at that time, was let's get the vote so we can keep down these other people, you know, these working class people, these minorities, so that they, you know, they don't overpower us. So you had to question some of the politics of what was happening in the movement. Though ultimately, of course, it was very strong. I've got some other images of that, but let's see. But there's one I wanted to give you. This was called A Modern Yankee Doodle, and this is one that came from the suffrage movement that's more singable than most. Yankee men, they had their way and thought it fine and dandy. Locked the women up all day and stopped their cries with candy. Yankee doodle, doodle, do, Yankee doodle dandy. Said to women, who are you? Be glad to get the candy. Yankee women caught right on and thought it quite unhandy to have no say and get no pay. They threw a hate on candy. Yankee doodle doodle do, Yankee doodle dandy. You'd be sorry if you knew how sick we grew of candy. Yankee man said, Yankee maid, with you no words will bandy. Hand to us the front door key and we'll send back your candy. Yankee doodle, what can you do? Yankee doodle dandy. We like freedom same as you and won't be hushed with candy. We mean to roam the great wide world. We mean to ride a pony. Stick a feather in our caps problems with that, but mostly that was a pretty gutsy song for World War I or pre-World War I. This might be a time. Oh, there's one song I'll throw in here. It's actually a contemporary song. It's one that I just wrote called Emma and May, and it's about two Washington State suffragists. Last year I had a great time traveling around the state of Washington and collecting stories from which to create new songs and learning about women like Emma Smith DeVoe, who came from the East Coast, settled in Tacoma specifically to work on the women's suffrage movement here in the state of Washington. And then there was May Arkwright Hutton, who lived in Spokane and was a very different personality, to say the least. I think the song will give you a bit of a sense of that. But we are not always united in these various movements that we become involved with, partly because of the differences, the very basic personality differences of some of the characters involved. So before I run out of time here, I'm going to get this out. Emma Smith DeVoe was a lady of no small acclaim. Her name was synonymous with grace and gentility. Emma Smith DeVoe was a leader of wit and of charm. Her style was disarmingly steeped in civility. And then there was May, ha! May, wee! May Arkwright Hutton from the east side of the mountains with a passion for a fight. May, ha! May, wee! Bigger than an army, hats and furs and feathers, Lordy mercy, what a sight. Emma Smith DeVoe was a slow, thoughtful lady whose style was to smile as she'd lobby for women's equality. Emma came from the east to Tacoma in 1906. She organized women to fight but act womanly. And then there was May, ha! May, wee! May Arkwright Hutton. Rags to riches lady made a fortune in the mine. May, ha! May, wee! Loud and bold and brassy, impudent and sassy, never one to toe the line. Emma and May, how they argued and lobbied and fought. Each thought that the other's defeat would bring victory. It still goes on today, some fly high and as bright as a kite. But the strings held by those on the earth planted solidly. Women like May, ha! May, wee! May Arkwright Hutton, wild and strong and common as our passion to be free. Women like Emma, Emma, graceful, bright and cultured, we all need each other to achieve equality. Well, from that sort of first movement, then it moved right into a lot of the union organizing. And women were incredibly involved and incredibly strong in the union movement and the union organizing and did a lot of the songwriting. Women like Ella Mae Wiggins, Aunt Molly Jackson, Sarah Gunning, some of who have only recently died. But left behind a rich tradition of songs, and they grew very much out of their union activities. Let them wear their watches fine. There's so many dreadful memories. Let them wear their... No, let's see. I live in a town away down south by the Thank you. make them share their pretty face. Now, this was definitely working class movement. The songs grew out of the organizing they were doing. Ella Mae Wiggins, for one, was martyred. But they made an incredible impact in providing songs for a lot of the union workers, songs that spoke straight out of the realities of the life that they were living. More contemporary union songs, back in, I ran across one from about 1939 or 1940, the woman who wrote it is still living up in the mountains here in Washington State. And she wrote it about trying to organize domestic workers. Now, in this country, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but domestic workers still are not organized or unionized. And these are the women who go into other people's homes to do the kind of work they'd traditionally been trained to do. If you talk to older women around Washington State, and especially ones who immigrated, most of them, at some time or other, did domestic work because it was the kind of work that was available. And I talked to my aunt, and she talked about the kind of expectations people had who hired these young girls to come into the home and live with them and be the live-in maids. And they pretty seldom got any time off. It was a very, very hard life. And she wrote this quite delightful song to help organize through the YWCA, to try and organize. Are we almost? Boy, we are. I'll sing a little bit. Well, we're coming from the nursery and from the laundry, too.
Let's see.
Well, we're coming from the nursery and from the laundry, too. And we're coming from the kitchen where there's always work to do. And we're joining hands in friendship and we're joining in the song. If we build a league together, it'll make us strong. Come on, girls, join us in the chorus. Come on, girls, make the rafters ring. One alone can't speak above a whisper, but when we get together, they can hear us sing. They can see the rows and rows of clothes we hang upon the line. They can always see the tarnish if the silver needs a shine. They can see 100 extra things they'd like to have us do. Why is it they so seldom see our point of view? Come on, girls, join us in the chorus. Come on, girls, make the rafters ring. One alone can't speak above a whisper, but when we get together, they can hear us sing. Why, when we get together, they can hear us sing. Well, I got almost through the list. It just always, you know, every category brings up more songs and more thoughts. But it moves us right to the feminist movement and the current movement and the kind of songs that I... that really affected me 20 years ago. It really fed into a lot of the politics that I developed. And it's amazing how many singers or people I've talked to who came to their politics and their value systems often through the music that they learned. It's a very powerful effect on all of our lives. And certainly a lot of the kind of songs that I grew up with, the 50s rock and roll songs, certainly had a very negative impact on my views and my images of who I was as a woman. And so when I discovered this whole rich body of traditional music, it has certainly changed my images of women and their strengths and their variety and the kind of lives we really lived, that we haven't had too many songs in our popular repertoire, nor still do, and the kind of images that come across in, on the radio now. So you have to dig deeper to find these songs. And you have to seek out the recordings. You go to folk festivals. There's just incredible array of this kind of music. And it's there occasionally in the AM stations and the country stations. As someone was pointing out, that in country stations today, the images of women are a lot different than they were 20 years ago, when it was standing behind your man was the role women were to play. And now more and more, it's like, you treat me bad, I'm going to leave you, you know? And I think we need those kinds of expressions and letting ourselves know we have choices. So I'm sorry that I don't have time. I could spend the next hour just singing songs that grow more out of the contemporary women's movement. And certainly the songs that I write now are very much rooted in a tradition, and this tradition that we've been talking about, And then when I started writing my own songs, I came up with much different images than I might have otherwise. So that the themes of my songs, a lot of them are historically based, like Emma and May, a song that I've written about a woman traveling overland that was inspired by reading women's journals and diaries. There's another song that I've written about a Rosie the Riveter during World War II. So that has become a real thrust in making those connections between where we came from, our history, as well as where we're going. So I'm sorry we don't have time to do more, but if you want to catch me sometime, pick my brain between now and tomorrow. I appreciate all of you being here. One thing I wanted to let you know is there's a brochure here, if any of you are interested, which I do have records and tapes and books and things over at the bookstore, though they will be gone tomorrow morning because I'm taking them out with me, what's left. But these are also order forms, and order forms also to pre-buy an album that I'm now recording and just finishing up, which is the ones about Washington people, not just women, but Washington stories. And if you're interested in pre-buying that or buying any of the other materials later, you're welcome to pick up a brochure. It'll give you more information about that. That's my little commercial plug. This is how we make our living. But I do thank you all very much for coming.